Chapter 23, 30th of September, Mount Nebel Marco Reactor. Sephiroth must die. His hero was running his fingertips over the surface of the capsule, caressing it delicately, tracing lines through the condensation that had gathered on the thick glass. The naked woman loomed before him, suspended in fluid with a twisted cloak of organic matter, the discoloration of her skin evident under the spotlights. Long, silver hair slithered from beneath her chrome helmet like searching tentacles, creepy and spellbinding in equal measures. Placing his katana at its base, the legendary soldier pressed his body against the tank like an eager child, lost in a euphoric trance.
"It's all right now, Mother,"
he whispered, reaching up towards her face, his words faint above the continuing hiss of pressurized steam.
"They're gone."
With the steel mains below leaking gases in deafening discord, Sephiroth failed to detect Cloud's approaching footsteps, their sound muffled further by the rubber coating of the bridge. By the time he realized the infantryman was upon him, it was too late. He glanced round as the buster sword was driven through his back, his darkened Marco eyes regarding the boy with horror. Gripping the capsule's shell for support, Sephiroth peered down to see the great blade had passed entirely through his gut, penetrating the glass. Blood and chemical preservative dripped heavily from the weapon, spattering over the metal floor of the plinth. A thunderous crack joined with the din inside the secret chamber. A network of fissures carving their way across the container. Within the tank, the liquid reacted to the disturbance, and through an eruption of bubbles, the glowing red eye of Genova seemed to watch the unfolding events with disinterest.
"Who are you, grunt?"
Sephiroth faltered, straining his neck to see his adversary.
"Give me back my mother!"
screamed Cloud, overwhelmed by grief, plunging the sword deeper. Sephiroth reacted with a sickening gasp, clutching the blade.
"Tifa, my home, give them back."
"Pitiful,"
the captain gargled defiantly. Blood spilled from his mouth, trickling down his chin and onto the exposed area of his chest.
"I respected you," Cloud sobbed, trembling. "I admired you. How could you do this? You bastard!"
He suddenly felt very lightheaded, from either the weight of his helmet, the cacophony that reverberated around the hollow, or the distressing spectrum of emotions he was experiencing. He was enraged by Sephiroth's betrayal, mourning his mother, terrified of the injuries Tifa had sustained. His muscles burned, but not from fatigue. It was as if his body was drawing strength from the dense Marco fumes. There should have been no energy left in his arms. It should have been impossible to wield Zack's weapon.
"But I can."
With a furious bellow, Cloud wrenched the buster sword from Sephiroth's midriff, severing the right side of his abdomen. The soldier shrieked in agony and collapsed to his knees, slumping awkwardly against the preservation tank, deep crimson smearing across its exterior. His wheezing was abnormal, unnatural, his hair hiding his face. The reflection in the glass told the true story, however. The wound was almost certainly fatal. Sephiroth knew he was dying. Cloud stood over him, tear streaked and panting frantically. He could sense every bead of sweat, every thumping heartbeat, the sweet and satisfying taste of retribution. He wanted to be there for Sephiroth's final breath, to revel in the murderer's suffering. But as the seconds ticked away, so did Tifa's life. Turning his back on his hero, Cloud retreated from the pedestal. His thoughts were a blur as he staggered hurriedly down the rubber extension, ripping the helmet from his head and tossing it absently into a mass of piping. Through the exit to the condensation chamber he charged, hurtling down the staircase two at a time. As he went, he briefly registered his buddy, broken and motionless against one of the pods.
"I'm sorry, Zack, but I have to get to her."
Tifa was sprawled across the bottom steps, unconscious and barely breathing. The gash on her chest was serious. He had to do something, anything, to slow the bleeding. Fragmented recollections of his first aid training flashed in his mind, but it had not prepared Cloud for the shock of it all. Dropping the Buster Sword to the floor, he slid his hands beneath her leg and spine and gently lifted his childhood friend. He carried her along the row of Marco capsules and laid her in a recovery position beside the last of them, making use of the warmth generated by the equipment. Fumbling through the pouches on his utility belt, he located a roll of gauze and hastily began to apply strips of it to the laceration.
"Come on," he urged himself, his fingers clumsy and nervous. "Come on, Cloud."
His heart pounded in his chest, the fear of losing her driving him on. He had promised to protect her, to rescue her if she was ever in a bind. Tifa was in worse trouble now than he could possibly have imagined, and there was little he could do to save her. He had failed to keep his pledge. Cradling her head in his arms, he reached down and brushed the loose fringe from her beautiful, ghostly white features.
"If only I'd gotten here sooner. I'm so sorry. Please, please, don't take Tifa away too."
There came an abrupt sound of scraping metal at the height of the room, and Cloud gazed anxiously up to see Sephiroth leaning against the frame of the electronic doorway. Pushing away from the wall, he limped tentatively forwards, grimacing with each movement. He paused at the top of the staircase, using the railing for support. His once inspiring stature and elegance, now a forgotten memory. The soldier was clinging to life, and he deserved every moment of this agonizing existence. Something about his reemergence was eerily off, though, as if he had achieved a whole new level of insanity. In his left hand was the Masamune, its long, slender blade dragging across the floor. In his right was the decapitated head of Genova, her sinewy flesh and dripping hair still encased by the chrome helmet.
"That's so gross. What the hell's wrong with him?"
Seeing Cloud's disgust, Sephiroth's face contorted in anger, every syllable laden with hatred.
"How dare you look upon Mother?"
The infantryman watched in stunned silence as Sephiroth started to descend, pacing himself and shifting his weight away from the grotesque tear in his side. The famous silver bangs were matted to his cheeks, and shadows as black as his trench coat lingered under his eyes. Halting at the row where Cloud stood guard over Tifa, he glared menacingly at his foe, but thought better of attacking him in his fragile state. Stumbling down the final few steps, the Masamune clanging noisily behind, Sephiroth disappeared along the passage towards the reactor core.
"Cloud!"
Zack's fractured voice drifted from several feet above, waving weakly in the direction of the exit.
You have to stop him. You have to finish Sephiroth off."
The notion struck him hard, sobering him from the terror and confusion of the evening's events. On any other day, it would have been suicide to take on the commander. But he could not allow the man who murdered his mother to escape. Unbridled loathing seized his soul, searing through his veins like wildfire.
I will kill him, Cloud vowed. I will avenge Nibelheim.
Checking Tifa once more, Cloud darted to collect the Buster Sword and sprinted down the tunnel after Sephiroth, blinded by rage. He caught him on the walkway by the facility's control terminals, struggling with his footing on the slick, Marco-stained grid. The outdated machinery continued to grind, and the air was thick with various gases, creating a smog of unbearable heat. Cloud blocked it all out, though. His focus was absolute, and his aim was true.
Sephiroth!
He bellowed, bringing the enormous blade down on the soldier. Despite the severity of his injuries, Sephiroth's reflexes remained sharp, deflecting the assault with ease and knocking the weapon from Cloud's grasp. The boy had barely registered the action when he felt the cold steel of the katana skewer his gut, lifting him mercilessly into the air.
Don't push your luck, Sephiroth growled, reminding him of the incredible strength he still possessed.
Cloud just hung there, suspended on the Masamune, racked with excruciating pain. His first thought was sadness, of his failure to make Sephiroth pay. But this was quickly overcome by wrath. He looked down at the captain. His lean features were drained of all colour, yet Sephiroth leered conceitedly at his victim. The arrogance spurred Cloud on, and again his body started to react to the Marco fumes.
I'll never forgive you for what you've done, Cloud croaked.
Mustering one last effort, Cloud grabbed the Masamune with both hands and pulled himself down the blade. The unexpected change in balance disadvantaged Sephiroth, and he could do nothing to stop the infantryman forcing his boots back to the ground. Planting his legs firmly on the walkway, Cloud summoned every ounce of temporary Marco enhancement to elevate the hilt of the sword, overpowering his enemy.
It can't be, Sephiroth spluttered, his eyes wide with horrified bewilderment as he fought to reclaim leverage. Impossible!
With a roar, Cloud thrust himself violently to the side, swinging the sword and throwing the captain from the platform. His last glimpse of Sephiroth was of him plunging hundreds of feet into the jade rivers below, still clutching Genova's head. As Cloud toppled to the floor, the Masamune lodged in his stomach, the light of the world dimmed to nothingness. But he glanced up in time to see a small woman with blonde hair on the walkway above. A tremendous sense of peace settled on him then, for he knew, even now in this awful place, his mother was watching over him.